because the church never put a focus on young people. And the only ones who stayed faithful were the ones who had been there for a long time, and they got older and older and older, and as life happens. And they never focused on bringing in new and bringing in young people and younger people. And then if young people would visit, they wouldn't pay them attention, and they wouldn't give them an opportunity, and they wouldn't show them any affection and show them that listen, I want to tell you, as the pastor of Morning Star Baptist Church, young people and new people and old people, I love you all. You're all welcome. There's a place for all of you. And speaking of young people, tonight after the service, we're having a fellowship, food, fun, and fellowship for our youth and the Family Life Center. Come over there and get your ice cream sundae and hang out for a little while. It'll be fun. And we need more of that. COVID held us back. I mean, listen, I heard a lot of good from the ladies' meeting yesterday. Over 50 ladies in our church met together and had a wonderful time. I hear. I wasn't there. I'm not a lady. Wasn't invited. Didn't want to be. But I praise the Lord that we had over 50 ladies at the ladies' meeting. The reoccurring theme that I've heard nothing but good from it. And the reoccurring thing that I've heard was how they enjoyed getting to fellowship and getting to know each other in a deeper way. That's what church, listen, when all we do, and you know I'm a preacher, and we will never cancel church and just have fellowships. That is out of the question. We're not going to become the Lions Club. No, we're a church. We're going to come to church and keep the main thing the main thing. But if all we ever do is come in on Sunday morning and sit in our pew and pray and sing a song and hear a sermon and then leave and do that two or three times a week, you get to tell people hey and hello and shake a hand or two, but you don't get to know people. And fellowships are meant, and families are meant. That's a better word. Families are meant to get to know each other. To deepen our relationship. And you can't do that just by coming to church only. And so going forward, especially since COVID showed us all how much we miss getting to get together. Getting to be together. Next week, we'll be celebrating Mama's birthday next Sunday. And listen, every one of you, come, whether you're a member here or not, come, bring food, but even if you don't bring food, come and come over there and sit down and try to sit at a table with somebody you don't normally sit with. And get up and walk around and fellowship and talk to people and develop new friends. I did this at the other church I pastored. Everybody's got their seat. And I know I ain't started preaching, so don't start my clock yet. But I did this. Everybody would come in and they got their assigned seat. And somebody say, don't you sit there, that's my seat. Well, I would go in and I would sit in their seat on purpose and see how they was going to tell the preacher to get out of their seat. And I actually had some of them tell me, hey, preacher, you in my seat? And I said, I didn't see your name on it. And show me the receipt where you paid for it. And going on kidding. But I had the church do this and I made them. I said, all right, you get up. Half of you and move, and half of y'all get up and move and merge and sit down beside people, keep families together, but I made people move and merge, and people in the back, made them come to the front, take the front and put them in the back, and just shook it all up. Just because I could. No, I'm just kidding. No, just to break the monotony. Just to break it up and listen, I don't want it to become so routine And I do. I go usually to the same place. See, I ain't nothing wrong with that. But please take the time and get here a few minutes early and fellowship with people. Not the same people. Go speak to people. And when visitors come, when we have a visitor come, they ought to leave here saying, "My goodness, that was the friendliest bunch of people I've ever seen in my life. I couldn't hardly get sit down because everybody was fawning over me and welcoming me and showing me that absolutely that should be the case." While doing that, we should not neglect our members and getting to know each other on a deeper level. I could go on and on and on. I will say I was up to see Miss some of our shut-ins and this past week, and Miss, the ice cream ain't going to melt. The freezers are working. And we do have a business meeting immediately following the service. I'll dismiss the youth and the those that are not members. We'll have a brief business meeting. So let's go ahead, the book of Nehemiah with me, and we're going to try to complete the message we begin. Nehemiah chapter 4, if you'll go with me, Nehemiah chapter number 4. My voice is about gone this evening, so I'm going to take a sip of water. Let me ask you if you'll help me. This is the sanctuary of God. This is God's house. It's a very special place. Wouldn't you agree? This is the Lord's house. And we try to honor it. That's why we don't come dressed like bums. And if the best you got, it's a pair of jogging pants and a t-shirt, then come on. But we try to dress our best, and we try to treat this place as a holy place. And so help me, so I don't have to come to you and embarrass you. I don't want to do that. I'll just say it publicly and widely. Help me, and try not to bring drinks and food into the church. This is not a place for that. A place for food and drinks and cokes and coffees and all that stuff is outside. This is one place we try to keep sacred and holy. It's the house of God. And if you need a drink of water, that's one thing. But please help us. Don't bring all that other stuff in here. Amen. That used to not even have to be said. That used to not even have to be said, but I wanted to say it, and that way I wouldn't have to deal with it further. Are you in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4? All right, stand with me. We'll honor the Lord's word as we read together. Chapter number 4. Instead of reading verses 1 through 15 tonight, we're going to begin in verse 10, and we're going to read verses 10 through 15 rather than verses 1 through 15, beginning in verse 10. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, 'They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease.' And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, 'From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you.' Therefore said I, 'In the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them, remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. It came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned, all of us, to the wall, everyone unto his work. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I began preaching this morning on the subject, fearing the opposition. And I'm going to try my best not to. It'd be about impossible for me to re-preach what I did this morning because I wouldn't know where to start or what I said because I didn't preach what I had prepared to preach this morning. So I'm going to try to preach the message that I come to preach this morning. But the book of Nehemiah is I encourage you. It's not a long book. You could read it in one sitting, but it is a powerful book. And it is... As I said this morning, we're Nehemiah, the king's cupbearer. I'm not going to run through all that again. Got a burden because his home had been ransacked. His where he was from, he was in captivity. They had come in, the enemies had come in and basically bulldozed the walls and of the city. He got word that they had destroyed his home in his hometown. And so... when he gets word of that, the king sees his countenance change, and what once was smiling Nehemiah is now weeping and just grieving Nehemiah. And the king gives him leave and says, "I'll help you all that I can," and sends Nehemiah and his men back down to the home place, and they are going by the call of God. Nehemiah and his men are going back to restore and rebuild the walls of the city, and he's commissioned and called by God and has the king's approval. And when they get there, Sanballat and Tobiah, they began coming against Nehemiah, and they start showing that not everybody's for this being rebuilt. And so there was opposition. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, everybody knows that. And that's the way it is. Being a Christian, living as a Christian, know up front, you're going to face opposition. You say, you preaching out of the book of Nehemiah about something that happened thousands of years ago. Why do we need a history lesson? Because God give us His Word, and His Word's way more than a history book. It is an accurate history book. However, it is more than a history book. It is God's Word. It is God's mind on paper. It is everything that God Almighty wanted humanity to know. He put it right here in this book. 66 books. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. And found within, nestled within those 66 books is this book of Nehemiah. And I plead with you, as we look at this, of fearing the opposition, I want to look, number one, at the weight of the building. Verse 10, look at it, verse 10 again. We just read it. Verse 10 said, "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." And they all started working, but because they got word of the enemy coming to tear down what they were had built, what they were building, they ended up with half on the wall working and the other half watching. While half was working to restore the wall, the other half was watching and making sure the enemy wasn't going to come and tear down what they had just built. And boy, that listen, that's a heavy burden. I mean, they're trying to get the work of God done. And I often feel that way, like I'm getting something built and something's starting to grow and something's starting to build, as in a church. And about the time you get it going and growing and you're building the best you can, here comes a Sanballat, and here comes a Tobiah, and here comes an enemy. And they are trying to tear down what you are trying to build up. And they come from none other than the devil. Listen, an enemy of the church is no friend of God. I'll say that as clear as I can say that. If you are against the church, if you want to fuss and fight with the church, if all you can ever do is rumble and grumble and gripe and complain and raise a stink and point out every problem and nothing's right, nothing's ever good enough. Hey, listen to me. I didn't put pepper on my food today, Brother Ned. I put a little bit of gunpowder. I come here. No, I'm kidding. I ain't mad at nobody, but I'm telling you, I'm trying my best to build the house of God, to see God grow this place and to see God restore the walls that the devil would love to tear down and that the world would love to see stay down. And God has a plan. And yes, God has a man, and he had Nehemiah to go and lead the way that he would see to it. He'd have a sword in one hand and he would have a trowel in the other, and they would work and they would build. And while they were building and while they were working, he would be standing above watching to see to it that when the enemy come, he would have them sound the horn and they would all run and unite and get together and stand as one.
Yes, sir.
And hear me and hear me well.
Amen.
A house divided will not stand.
Sure, sure.
Oh, if this church is going to make it, we're going to have to stand together.
Amen.
We're going to have to stay together.
Amen.
Stick together. I mean, listen. Listen to me. Look up here at me just a minute. Do you know, Brother Jimmy, I love you. I love you. I do. But your family, you're a good man. I mean, you're one of the best men I know, and I mean that. One of the best men I've ever known. I love you and I respect you greatly. But your family ain't perfect. And when problems have arisen in your family, if you was to stand up and buck and fight and say, well, I've had it, and all you, that ain't how families act. Our family ain't perfect. Lord knows we got our problems. Now don't stand up and testify right now. But you know what we've learned? We've learned to stay together. Come what may. When the arrows start flying and the fiery darts of hell come, and they do to the best of us, they come. The devil's going to seek you out. The devil's going to find you. The enemy will hunt you down. He'll attack your home. There when you get to the place where you think you can rest. I mean, I'll leave the house of God and have been doing war and been in warfare, preaching and fighting demons and devils and praying hell off of me and my family and you and your family. Tied up in physical warfare and spiritual warfare, and I'll finally get home and I'll say, now I can rest. I'm in the four walls of my home, a place that I'm safe. I can rest. I'm safe. That's base. Base. Leave me alone. I'm on base. Remember playing that when you was a kid? You can't tag me. You can't touch me. I'm on base. That's what home is. Well, listen to me. The devil don't play by our rules. And he don't care if you're on base. And he don't care if you've made it home. Matter of fact, that's where he set up camp. Down at your home. Down at my home. And he does his best fighting in the dark. And he don't fight fair. and he'll come to you. And listen to me, God sent a man by the name of Nehemiah to be the watcher of the wall, to make sure that the wall would go forward and be built. And it couldn't be built if everybody was down on the ground and everybody threw their swords down and everybody got a hammer and a trowel and they began and everybody was doing busy about working. They had to be order. They had to be somebody standing up high, looking out over. And while he was watching, they were working. And while they were working, others were warring. And they all had a place and it all had a point, and God set it up that way so it could survive.
Amen.
The same is true in a home. The same is true in a church. Everybody can't stand at the top of the wall and watch. God didn't call everybody to do that. Everybody can't be at the bottom working. Everybody can't be out warring. It takes all of us. But what God just said in His Word, He said, listen, hey, and this thing gets heavy. When you build the wall, I mean, I'm talking about the heaviness of the heaviness of this wall they were building. The building was a heavy thing. It was a hard thing, and living the Christian life is a heavy and a hard thing. And building your home, it's a heavy and a hard thing. And things don't always go right, and things don't always go as planned. And you might come home one day, and I mean, it's all falling apart. And you walk into things you never dreamed would come to your house, and things come knocking on your door, and have found your address that come from the was burped out of hell that you heard about other people doing that you knew would never happen at your house. And there it is. He said, I thought you was preaching on Nehemiah. I am. But I'm saying if you're going to build a wall, whether it be your hometown, your home city like Nehemiah was, or whether it be your home or mine, or whether it be this home, the house of God, there's got to be a watchman. There's got to be workers. Cam, wake up. And there's got to be warriors. There's got to be those who are standing their post. I know you've been up early. I ain't getting on to you, man, but I'm just trying to help you. I love you. There you go. You want to hear this, don't you? Good. I love you. Amen. Brother Nelson, why didn't you tell me? I'd have kicked him. I bet his wife would have pinched him if I give her a dime. Y'all did hear about that little kid. He falls asleep every time in church. And his the preacher went back there and told him, said, "You making me look bad." It said, "If I give you a nickel, would you stay awake?" And the little boy said, "Well, sure." And that went on for a few days and a few Sundays in a row, and next thing you know, the preacher seen that little boy. He was back there, and he was staying awake, but he was causing a ruckus, and he was fighting and playing and causing a ruckus. And his daddy, the preacher went to him and said, what happened? He said, "I see you sleeping again on me now." He said, "You done good when I was paying you." He said, "I was paying you a nickel a week. It didn't hold up one time, and then here you are sleeping again." He said, "Daddy, give me a dime if I'd go to sleep and hush." Yeah. That's right. But I'm saying, listen, Nehemiah understands. He's not in a play. He's not in a ball game. He's not on a playground. He's in a real war zone. He's seen the destruction, the heaviness of the burden that he and these men are under is enormous. He understands that the weight of the building is something that they all gonna have to deal with, and so too do we. This thing of being a Christian gets weighty.
Yes, sir.
If you're gonna stay in the fight and you're gonna continue building and not become a quitter, you gotta know this it's gonna get heavy. But by the way, Lord, just give me this. Every time one of you do quit because it was so heavy, guess what that just did? When you take 1,000 pounds and I lay 1,000 pounds across this front pew, and you get apart and you get apart and you get apart, and they can all sustain that 1,000 pounds. I doubt it with these boys, but they can. But spread out like an 18-wheeler, that's why they make them that way. Spread out the load, they can hold it. But then you take this one out, and you take this one out, and all you got is two on the end. Guess what it does? It makes it so much heavier. It makes it so much harder to hold the weight. Every time you think about quitting, don't just think about you. Think about your pew. Every time you think about quitting, when it gets heavy, when it gets hard, don't just think about how hard it is on you and how heavy it is for you. Think about how heavy and how hard you go, how much heavier it's going to be, how much harder it's going to be for your pew, and not just for your pew, but for your children and for your wife and for your, hey, some of you lazy husbands, listen to me. Listen, you should be the head of your home. You should be the one who marches them up and wakes them up and says, rise and shine and give God the glory. It's Sunday morning, honey. Wake up, wake up. It's the Lord's day. It's time to go to the house of God. It shouldn't be on your wife to have to pull that load and try to pull your weight. It's the man's job. It's the husband's job. It's the head of the home for you to pull your weight. And you say, that's just too hard for me. I got to sleep in. We'll just lay out. It's just too hard to go today. You just made it so much harder on your wife. And so much harder on your children. And that's just one example of coming to church. That's the least that we can do. Getting to the battle is the easiest part. As I preached about this morning, on their way to the battle, all them men was, hi-ho, Nehemiah, you the man, we love you. But once they got to the battle, they started falling out like flies. I quit. This is too hard. I never dreamed it'd be like this. I'm saying getting here is as easy as it comes. If you can't get here, oh my, get here. And husbands, daddies, I've been way too easy on you daddies, on us daddies. Brother, listen, you was man enough to bring these children. My daddy used to say this to me, I was man enough to bring you in this world and I'm man enough to take you out. I don't know about all that, but that's what he said. But you was man enough to bring these children into this world. It ain't manly to leave them at home and to push all the responsibility on her.
Amen.
To raise these children. Yes. JD, if for some crazy reason God ever gives you a wife, I'm kidding. It's your responsibility to love and cherish your wife, and not, God made her the weaker vessel. God made her the weaker vessel. It ain't her responsibility to carry all the weight. Are you listening? And daddies, husbands, we got to be better. Daniel, we got to be better. God expects more out of you. Michelle ought not to have to carry the load. Jenny ought not to have to carry the load. And that comes, I'm talking about paying the bills, raising the youngins. And that's just physical things and financial things and family things. But hey, the sad reality is in 2022, I'm talking about building walls. And the walls that must be built is spiritual walls. And the woman is sadly the one who's carrying the load in 90% of the homes. When it comes to spirituality, it's the mamas doing the praying. It's the mamas getting them to church. That's why, check me. I've done a study on it. I've done the research on it. And I've been and preached in enough churches. I know this to be true. Most churches are about 70 to 80% women to men.
Yeah, God forbid.
I've preached in more churches than I can remember. And I know that firsthand, not just what I read in a book or seen in a statistic. I know firsthand, but it also is borne out by the facts and the statistics.
Yeah,
men, man up.
Amen.
Wah, 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 wah. It's too hard. Yeah, that's why we're teaching a generation to be sissies. It's too hard. It's too hard. No. Why do you think we got a bunch of little boys wanting to be little girls? You say, oh, don't go there, preacher. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't say that. The schools are teaching it the other way. And I ain't talking about all the... I know there's some teachers in here that are good, and praise God for you. We need more like you. But if the school teachers will tell them, you can... Hey, little Johnny, you can be little Susie if you want to. Oh, no, you can't. Oh, no, you can't. Quit polluting and perverting the minds of children. They have torn down the moral walls. They have torn down the moral fiber and fabric that have made this country great and what it was. And we are sitting back watching them tear it down and destroy the very foundation.
Amen.
Oh, God, help us. Man up, man up, man up. It, Brother Jackie, it ain't just my children. My children are growing, but we got small children. I still got, I know you don't have to remind me. I got older children that's driving and graduated, but I still got some that's knee knockers too. Yes, I'm going to have some that's still in school while I am probably an old folks home. I know how that worked out for me. Yeah, I know. Call me Abraham. I'm saying, hey, listen to me. I'm saying, these children, Stephen, your children,
yes, sir,
that age, these children,
yes, sir,
hey, it's y'all's grandchildren.
Amen.
Y'all's children, your grandchildren are facing a more dark and wicked world where the walls have been torn down. Brother David Jackson, Miss Holly, Jack, that little boy right there, and that little boy, hey, they're facing a world where the walls have been torn down. And I'll tell you, as honest as I can tell you, yes, it's a heavy load to carry. It's going to be a heavy, heavy load to build these walls back. And sadly, they are more falling out and filing out and saying, that's too hard for me. And I'll just go with the flow and I'll go back down there and let those who took me into bondage. It was easier down there because, God forbid, not for my child. I'm going to be on the wall. I'm going to be on my perch. By the grace of God, I'm going to stand. I'm going to fight. I'm going to have my sword in my hand. I'm going to stand on the wall. I'm going to stand on the tower. I'm going to watch. I'm going to warn. And I'm going to say, the enemy's coming. The enemy's coming. They're tearing it down. And by the grace of God, I need some daddies and some mamas. I need all hands on deck. And listen, you can't be fighting against you. And you can't be fighting. We can't have friendly fire. There's not enough time. Amen. This is too important. There's too much at stake to have people shooting at one another in the house of God over such pettiness and smallness while souls are dying and going to hell, and the enemy has come in and wrecked and pillaged everything that we know as being a wall. Oh, God help us. God help us. Ain't none of that in my notes. But I don't need notes tonight. I'm telling you, God's given me help tonight. God's given me straight what we need tonight. It gets heavy. And Nehemiah knew it was heavy. And them men knew it was heavy. And I'm going to say this and be done with this point and move on. Don't be a quitter. Understand, it's going to get heavy. It's going to be hard. But under heaven, what's your alternative? Do tell. I'll give you the floor. Here's the mic. Somebody be big enough and bad enough and have enough brain to come up here and tell me what's a better alternative. What's easier? Oh, there's pleasure in sin for a season. Oh, it may feel easier walking back down to where you was in bondage. It may feel easier for a short moment while you're walking away from the enemy. But I'm talking about, hey, we got to stand up in faith and face the enemy. Not falter, not run in fear. But when it's heavy and hard, stand and build the wall. Come what may. Why? I'm gonna show you this, and we just read it. But hey, it said there toward those last verses. This is on down the message, but I'm gonna put it right here because it's so good. Verse 14 says, "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord." Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. You might say this is too heavy for me, but you it might be a fearful thing and worth quitting on if it was just you. But if you was going to quit, if it was just you, will you at least fight for your children? I've wanted to throw the towel in before. I've wanted to take it and throw the towel in before and say, this is too hard. Church people, Baptist people are too hard. I'm done with them. And then I look and I see my girls. And I say, but for my children, I will grab my Bible. I will mount the pulpit again. I'll face the enemy again. I'll fight again. I will preach till my tonsils go out again. For my wife, I'm not giving up. I'm not backing up. I'm manning the wall. I'm going to stand and watch and war for my family. For my family. And if you was going to quit for you, remember, it ain't just you. You have a wife that you made vows to. I have a wife that I made vows to. For richer or for poor. In sickness and in health. In good times and in bad. When it's easy and when it's hard. When the load's light or when it's so heavy you're about to break beneath the load. If you're going to quit, at least don't quit for them. Amen. Love your children enough. Love, hey, go pick the towel up you've already threw in. Go pick it up and say, I'm going and stand in my place on the wall. I'm not by the, I did throw it in and I did quit, but then I looked and I saw him. And I can't quit on her. She ain't quit on me. Through all the hell, Brother Jackie, I put her through. Through all the hard times. Through all the terrible times. She never quit on me. And it's been way heavier. It's been way harder. And I will not quit on her. I will fight for her. And I'll stand with her against anybody. Anybody. Amen. Come one, come all. I will stand with her. Amen. There ain't enough people in this world that make me want to quit on that woman right there.
Hey. Yes, sir. Hey. It's good.
And if you don't feel that way, you're a pretty sorry excuse for a husband. I love them girls too much. I'm going to pick my towel up. There's my fake towel. There's my bulletin that I called a towel. That white flag that I waved and throwed in the towel. Hey, I'm picking it back up tonight, and I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. I ain't perfect. I fail every day. I fall so short, but I promise you by the grace of God, the only thing that's got us to date, it's no matter how bad it's got, no matter how heavy it's got, I've got up. The Bible says a just man falleth 7 times and riseth again. You are not a failure if you keep getting up. You may fall again. You may fall again and again and again. But hey, I'm telling you, by the grace of God, Get back up and wipe your knees off. Get back on your part. Get back on your part of the wall and hold your part of the weight. Quit making it so heavy for everybody else. Just imagine how quicker the wall would go up. Just imagine how much lighter it would be.
Amen.
If everybody manned their place on the wall.
Amen.
If I was to brought however many people, 100 something pounds of weight, 1 pound a piece in here tonight, and handed them out like reverse offering and said, here's you a pound and here's you a pound, and went all through the building and handed out a pound a piece. Well, that wouldn't be no big deal. You could hold a pound.
Yeah.
You might could even hold a pound and stay awake, Brother Cam. Hey, I'm trying my dead level best. If this is boring you, I'm sorry.
I
know, boy. I'm kidding. I'm trying everything I can to help you. I mean, if somehow I go get my tonsils off the back wall, I'll try harder. Listen to me. If y'all had a pound weight apiece, you could hack it. You could hold it. It wouldn't be no big deal. That's called lightweight. But then let's say these represent pounds. Come on, put your Bibles down. All you preachers, come on, hurry. Fast, quick. Come on, come on, come on. There's your pound. Pound, pound, pound. All right. Now, Jackie, you a preacher? Come on. There's a pound. Now look at this. Oh! I told you this point is the heaviness of the wall, heaviness of building. He can't even hold it. He's a lightweight, featherweight. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. All right, now see how easy we're holding this? No problem. We could probably do it for hours. If it was a contest, I mean, we could probably hold it out for hours. But let's say this represents 50 pounds. And I say, I'm tired. And I got stuff to do. And I got stuff I don't really have to do, but stuff I want to do. So how about just hold my 50 for a while? And I know you got stuff to do. Won't you come with me and we'll go fishing? And I know it's church day and you should be holding yours, but just... come on, go with me. Ain't that lighter? Don't that feel better? Yeah. That's 150 pounds, my goodness. Well, let's take that 150 and you go do your thing because you got better stuff to do and come to church and work and help hold the 200 pounds. And that's JD holding 200. We can't keep him there long. Let's take that 200 and put it on the big man. Alex can take 250 for sure for a minute or two. But then, just to keep Cam awake, 50, 100, 150, 200, 250, 300 pounds. Now, boys, we home free.
Right. Yeah.
We left him holding the bag. Let's go have us a time. Let's go eat some lunch. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Y'all get the point. Sadly, that's how most Baptist church members treat this thing. We don't look at it that way. We don't comprehend it that way. We don't think of it that way. But next time you think about laying out of church, next time you think about not paying your tithe, next time you think about not coming to Sunday school, next time you think about, hey, are you listening? Next time you think about not getting in the choir, next time you think about, well, not today. At 250 pounds, at 300 pounds, it's going to get awful heavy to the point that even the strongest will finally, it'll get so heavy they will begin to crumble. Yeah. Their knees will begin to shake. And it'll be all that they can do just to simply stand.
Yeah.
And we're not in a standing contest. We're in a war that an enemy's coming. And by the time the enemy gets here, and I was up on the wall and I was to say, he's coming, there comes Sanballat, there they come, blow the horn. Well, they gone, and he's so tired and weak, the enemy don't even have to fight hard at all. He could come and thump and knock him over. Does that make any sense to y'all? Thank you. You can put those down. That's 300 pounds. I ain't touching it. The weight of the building. And I know this doesn't turn into a series. We got through part of point one. Brother Ned, you're going to be the death of me. Brother Ned said, don't quit now. And about 90% of y'all saying, somebody take my plate. Take my plate. Let me find the stopping point. Listen, the enemy, he's coming. He's coming. It ain't an if. It's a when. So we must build the wall because he's coming. He may not, listen, he may change tactics. He may come up with a different trick. But really, just two simple ways. He comes from without or he comes from within. That's the two ways. And I want to give you this little comparison and think about this. He will come from without as a roaring lion. I mean loud and barking and roaring and making great noise and trying to intimidate you like a big bulldog and try to scare you off. That's one way. And many fold and many fear. And if it was a dog like that roaring and barking and come up to my mama, well, she's going to tuck tail and run. I can tell you, I know her. Oh, she might be Miss Godly Myra that'll witness to anybody, anywhere. But put a little pooch, put a little poodle in her path and see how godly Miss Myra turns into. I got to get you every now and then. So one way the enemy comes is loud and intimidating as the roaring. But if he can't get you as a loud roaring lion from the outside, he will try to, by transforming himself into the angel of light from the inside, silently, quietly, not trying to intimidate you, but trying to interrogate you. Not trying to overwhelm you. The Bible said that these men got to a place to where they were questioning among themselves, is this worth it? Is this even worth building this thing back? I mean, there's enemies coming after us. Is this worth it? Is this the right man to lead us? Is this even worth it? And they began sowing discord and talking amongst themselves, saying, we were better off back yonder. I mean, forget holding these walls. Let's go back. Sure, we was under bondage in sin, but let's go back. That's how the devil operates. He will try to loudly from the outside come and intimidate you to get his will and way, or he will slither up and sow seeds of doubt in your mind and say, he can't be right. They can't be right. And before you know it, I'm closing. I'm folding my glasses. I ain't got my Bible in my hand. I'm almost right now done. Both ways accomplish the same thing. Either in fear you run away being intimidated, or we turn on each other. And we all run away, and we all are weaker for it. Either way, we run away and the wall falls. We cannot afford to let the enemy in. Even when it's hard, even when it's heavy. And what I was saying about the family a while ago, mine, Brother Jimmy's, yours, if all the ugly was to truly be showed, if all the dirty secrets was to be told, if all the most embarrassing things that you know about, you and your family, I'm talking about the all-night knockdown dragouts, I'm talking about the sin that you and your family know about, that y'all may not all of you committed, but some of you committed, or one of you committed and you know about it, but for the family's sake, so you could stay together, you kept it quiet, you kept it under wrap. The Bible says the love covers a multitude of sin, and you've done whatever it took to stay together. You put up with stuff you thought you'd never put up. And if it was anybody else, you wouldn't have put up with it. But because you love them, you put up with it. You took the blow. Don't make me elaborate. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about dirty, nasty, vile, wicked stuff. I'm talking about drugs. I'm talking about adultery. I'm talking about husbands cheating on wives. I'm talking about going out and getting drunk. I'm talking about the wickedest, most vile things that you'd never dream would be found from people sitting in this church. And yet, they probably ain't a pew or a family in this church that hadn't covered some of that stuff up at one point or another in your life. I ain't ratting nobody out. I ain't telling your story. I'm just simply saying we all know it's true. But you know what you didn't do? You didn't say, well, that's it. I'm done with you. I've had it. That's enough. That's too vile for me. That's too dirty and dark for me. And I'm done. I'm done. I've had it. You know what you did? By proof of your existence and you still being here together. And I know there have been some that have been so bad that they have parted and divorce has taken place. And God bless you where you're at. Move on for the glory of God. God blesses you too. But I'm saying for who you with right now, even after the divorce, y'all have your own stories. Amen. Y'all have your own sins. But you chose to stay even when it was hard. Amen. You chose to stay even when it was, yucky. Even when it was like, there's no way we're going to make it through this. There's no way we'll ever make it through this. But you did. You know why? Because you're family. Because you love each other. There's, Jenny, come here. I never do this. Don't you come here. Cut a car wheel. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, I never do this. I never get her up in front of people unless it's to sing, because that's her comfort zone. But you know why we're together? You know why I'll never quit on her by the grace of God? Because I love her. And when I was at my, the scum, on the bottom of scum, when she had every right and reason to run and never look back, she loved me enough to cover and say, come home. Amen. Come home. Amen. And I'll love you and we'll fix this and we'll work this out if you'll just come home. Amen. And somehow, by the grace of God and the unbelievable love of this woman, we stand here, trophies of God's grace, imperfect by far, but trophies of God's grace, because we have not quit. And by the grace of God, we will not quit. We're going to have one hand on the wall, and I'm watching. And she's working, and when it comes time, I will war for her and for them girls. And that should be the testimony of every family here. And families like that is what makes and puts together a church just like that. People in churches who will say, I know you done me wrong, but come home. I know you talked about me, but hug my neck anyway. I know you just said I love you, but behind my back you just talked me down. But I love you. And there's still grace. There's still mercy. And we be brethren. And I'm not giving up on you. Hey, listen, I'm not quitting on you. As a church, there's a wall to build. And God wants every one of you, and it's going to take every one of you. And I know this has been long, but I don't apologize for it tonight. Because the God of heaven, please hear me, and I promise I'm done. The God of heaven has sent you a word from God tonight. I rarely ever say that. But I know when the God of heaven has spoken. And all I was tonight was an empty, broken, messed up vessel. When I started, Brother Ned, I ain't had time to hardly blink today, much less take a nap. I meant it. I've had arrows flying at me all day. I've had business problems all day. I've had fires burning from every which way. This has been, I mean, you talking about if there was ever going to be a time, Brother Jackie, I was going to flop when I got up there to preach. When I thought, how under heaven am I going to walk up to that pulpit tonight? Lord, there's no way. I'm undeserving. I'm unprepared. I can't even get my thoughts together. And yet God said, I'll take you because you're here and you didn't quit. And I will pour my word through you to my people if you just won't quit. And so, well, you know what I did? I didn't feel like it. Even sitting here, and when they got to the last song, I enjoyed it. And I said, Lord, I sure don't feel like it. This ain't going to work, Lord. This ain't going to work. This ain't going to work. I don't know how. And look, here we are. And we survived. And God Almighty spoke to our hearts. And if you didn't hear Him speak to you tonight, I promise you, it ain't God's fault. And I'll tell you this, I promise you tonight, it ain't my fault. I did my dead level best to deliver the Word of God to you. And I hope and pray, heads bowed, eyes closed, I hope and pray you took it.